This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My favorite was Townie's wife. Are you effing kidding me, Chris? That is a very good one. Is that his intellectual property? Probably he took that. Fascinating thing, by the way, the lineup changes. Remember when John Lund used to work here? They had something called the Wheelhouse, which I was actually a part of, Greg and I. It was either Greg or me on the air with John Lund. Now they're, you know, doing their own thing. But part of what they did was, what was the name of the end of the show thing? Between the, the Caboose Pistol. It's apparently back. They have intellectual rights. Yeah, well, you don't have good for ball, bad for ball. You don't have puff, puff, pass. You don't have killers and kooks. You don't have... buy or sell. Oh, yeah, they do. Every radio station has buy or sell. If you think about it, every one of those games is the exact same thing, right? You throw out a topic, and good for ball, bad for ball, we're more expansive with it. But you throw out a topic, and somebody else decides, do you like it or not? So, puff, puff, pass, good for ball, bad for ball. It's not the most rocket science type of thing, but it works everywhere you go. So we keep going with it. I like Papa's drop. Stop it. That's intellectual property. We can't do that. Enough with Papa. Everybody move on with your lives. Pele. Do we have that somewhere? See, you got to start explaining them now because you guys are digging deep, and I appreciate that. But you got to add some detail, some context. Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis were the two biggest names that... not in free agency, but we knew that AD was going to get his trade, correct? We didn't know Kawhi was going to leave. But they were two of the movers and shakers that really, I think, is the most, I don't know if fascinating is the right word. And I don't want to mock it either because I loved it. Is it the most controversial or the most... appealing, I guess. Compelling. Probably the most compelling. That's what I'll go with. I'll go with compelling there. Is that O.J. Simpson golfing up here? Oh, he's not golfing. He's looking for the real killer. Anybody caught his YouTube channel as of late? Do you follow O.J. Simpson? He's now posting daily videos of himself. And he weighs in on, like, he thinks he's Stephen A. Smith. He's given hot takes, and what's unsettling is that in every one of them, he's like wielding a golf club. It's like menacing. I want no part of the menacing O.J. Simpson. I'm not going to be there. Is it here or there? You can't miss a drop. Crying out loud.
I'm not going to be here.
Guru, a good mechanic doesn't blame his tools. We have a promo built around that. It was like... earth-shaking stuff right there. A mechanic never blames his tools. I'm excited. Lo Neal, I love... can we say that? No? I love Richard is what he said. It's a drop. Of course we can. Lo Neal, I think, is a... he's second place with a bullet when it comes to favorite drops. And they embrace it here. That's what I love about it. That Lorenzo Neal... you do a drop when he misspeaks, and it's now part of the show. It's a bit. He loves it. I would have a hard time. Well, Joe Spadoni is responsible for this. Every single drop at this station that features me makes me look bad or stupid. And I think you're doing it on purpose. 888-957-9570, the answer to that is no, you do a fine job of yourself.
You learn how to grab your nuts?
See? Every single one of them. I digest. Please, please, please. The Anna drop where she says, I can't say that.
Yeehaw.
There's the yeehaw. I like that. That's clean. It's got to be clean, guys. If it's borderline, it's not going to go. Joe will stop me. He will not let me. He'll protect me from myself, which is what the Warriors are going to have to do with a little load management. Remember how everyone said the dynasty was over? It was over. They're done. Not so fast. Kevin DeGrant, who they were on the precipice of losing and getting nothing back, nothing. They flipped that into a 23-year-old All-Star. And then they kept Looney. And then we saw that these guys who were drafted are actually could be contributors next year. My pet project now is Smiley Geach, C-Dubs, 18-year-old youngest player in G League history. They pulled off one of the fastest and most, exhilarating is awfully dramatic, but I just expected the Warriors to have the worst offseason ever, and I expected to be going into next year almost dreading it. Because if you open up an arena, a billion-plus arena, and you stink, that's a horrible way to introduce yourself. Look at, there's some yards in baseball that have been built and really well received. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. Packed all the time. If you're not winning, that new car smell goes away in a hurry. You've been to Camden Yards? Plenty of seats available. That's where we're seeing it here at 3rd and King. The Giants could have sold out forever. It's that good of a ballpark. But in a place like San Francisco, where there's stiff competition for the discretionary dollars in your income, in your budget, you'll just say, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do something else. D. Bruce, when the Warriors signed Boogie Cousins, it's Sports Talk Radio Gold. I remember that vaguely. We definitely have to dig deep on that one. That's worth it. So AD, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Boogie Cousins, who's almost an afterthought now, which is crazy because a year and a half ago, he's an Olympian, he's a gold medalist, and he's a better guy than you think. I don't think he's a bad guy, but the guy's begging for a deal again for the second consecutive postseason. And I think if he hadn't come back, I love Jim Cosmore's take on this. He says, remember Boogie had that great game, game two of the finals. Right? It was the best we had seen him. They really needed that win. And he went nuts. But then he got hurt. He busted up his a quad was the second injury. And then he has a bad game. And if he had not played in this game, this is what stinks, because normally you would be like, yeah, this dude straps it on. He plays hurt. I'm good with that. That's all I need, play hurt. So he does that, which should help further rehabilitate his image. And he plays poorly, and Cosmore estimates that he may have lost $100 million with that poor performance. He might have been in line to get a max deal. Now, whether you think that's true or not, you can't dismiss the fact that it's a big damn deal. Any low kneel drops with him sneezing. We have drops of low kneel sneezing. Oh my God, that's so good. That's what I need. I need laughter, I need frivolity, and I need intelligence, I need sarcasm, I need 888-957-9570. Give it to us. The phone lines are wide open, and we are going to be talking with Rob Lauder. Rob Lauder? Covers the Niners for SB Nation. He's going to join us after this little break. So if you've got some questions on what's going on in Niners camp, this is a great time for it. Just hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795, and do it now, because we're going to step aside for just a couple minutes, and then we're going to bring Rod on. We haven't talked much Niners at all. Rob, I'm sorry. And there's a lot going on in Niners camp, too. Have you noticed?
Porn star, Jimmy!
And there's injuries to talk about with the... That's all there is to talk about with the Niners. Jimmy G needs a new porn star. That will snap the Niners out of their funk on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Thank you for being with us. I am Mike Lerman. I'm here until 1 o'clock. Rick Tittle is taking over thereafter. The big topic for today, of course, is Antonio Brown. That's the big topic anywhere where they traffic in sports news. That's just the way it is. Antonio Brown's time with the Raiders is already phenomenally unforgettable. He may not play a snap. Butcher Boy yesterday made a bold call.
Oh, yeah.
He suggested that Antonio Brown will never take a snap with the Raiders. That would be insane. That can't happen, right? There's no way. Why would he come and be, by most accounts, a model citizen for the first 6 to 8 weeks he was part of the franchise? It was almost like he knew he had doubters, and he had to flip them. And he did, at least in the room, because he was doing extra work. He was mentoring young players. He was doing everything that you would expect him to do, that you would want him to do. And then, all of a sudden, he doesn't like the helmet. And the foot thing, that's what matters. That's the football-related thing. They need him in the lineup if they're going to be any good. This guy is a phenomenal talent. Absolutely one of the best receivers of all time. And that dude's burst, you give him the slightest little window, and unless you've got an Olympic medalist chasing him down, it's not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. Chris, Tony's wife got another one. Tony's wife has more votes than I have. And she doesn't even have any drops.
You learn how to grab your nuts?
Why do you like that one so much, Joe? It's a little bit unsettling. Cozumore drops with him saying, shut your yapper. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I like so you that just shut live, your too. Yapper.
Do it again.
So you just shut your yapper.
Was that to a caller? I would like to get context for some of them. With some of them, you don't want context. You want to be able to fill in your own blanks. Nick Bosa just made his second appearance on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. No, Nick Bosa didn't just text us. I worded that kind of weird.
Bosa watch.
My guy.
What was that? Nick Bosa, when talks after the draft with Kyle Shanahan. Is that ring a bell? Is that what you just played? Okay. Nick Bosa, when talks after the draft with Coach Kausch. You're going to have to help us out here, man. You got to give us a little bit of detail, or we're not going to be able to find it.
Can't do it.
Yeah. I need a red sweater. There's Macy's. Go. That's basically what you're saying to us. There's a million things in Macy's. Narrow it down for us just a little bit. Speaking of Nick Bosa, his dad he's become the Chris Lincecum of the NFL. Chris Lincecum, obviously Timmy's dad, he is a little league parent taken to a big league level. And I do not mean that in a negative way. I don't. I've said the same thing, and the reason I'm basically stopping that before it starts is because it came so quickly and so fiercely. I was curious as to, why does this guy bother you so much? Who cares if Chris Lincecum likes being in the spotlight? Why does anybody have a problem with that? But he was on talk shows. I had him on regular all the time. And he knows the sport. Look, if I put you on the air, if we put you on the air, it's because you know what you're doing. You're adding to the value of the show. And so Chris Lincecum, for some people, is living vicariously. How about this? When did this become a negative? He's trying to live vicariously through his son. That's what every parent does. Whether you like it or not, you're always going to live vicariously through your kids in one way or another. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Now, when you hear it, you think bad, right? It's usually not complimenting somebody. But Chris Lincecum knew what he was talking about, and he had his time in the sun. But now we've got Nick Bosa's dad, John, and he's coming in a little bit stronger than Lincecum. Lincecum knew baseball, and he was great at explaining it. he would never be, you know, TV savvy, but he was just really, really good at explaining it, and he made great points. John Bosa is not doing his kid any favors. John Bosa, the fact that we even know his dad's name by now, shows you how important it is. We got some sound. We have the fresh sound.
You know, high ankle sprain, it takes some time. And grade of the MRI was the lowest grade. There's not ligament damage or the x-rays were clean. There's no bone chip or things like that.
So that's Papa. Papa Bosa. What's fascinating on the other side of the bay, the 49ers, this is a huge year for them. We all agree. It's year three of the deal, the six-year deal, which means Jed York said, yeah, I screwed this up really, really badly. I'm going to give you 6 years. It might take that much time. They have a bunch of guys injured last year, including your franchise quarterback and the running back that everybody was like, what is that all about? Well, are you going to second-guess Kyle Shanahan and what he wants to do with a running back out of the backfield? That's why he brought Jerick McKinnon. And that added to the excitement about the 49ers. Because most people didn't know who that guy was. They'd never heard of him. But the offensive genius, that's what everybody says about Shanahan, he wanted him specifically because he thinks he would thrive in that system. And I'll tell you what, I'm buying whatever they're selling at that point. Ooh, 957. We have a 957 has had Clay's dad. Oh, he's saying that Clay's dad is Nick Bosa. Is John Bosa. That's, I'm going to go bad for ball with that comparison. Michael Thompson, who we know played in the NBA, he's a broadcaster in the NBA now. Every time he's asked about his son, he tells you what he thinks, but I don't think he's overbearing. It's not like he's a LeVar Ball type. He also works for NASA, so he had a lot of credibility when it came to the mathematics of a description. This is talking about Chris Lincecum, by the way. Yeah, Tom Brady's dad is being compared to... You guys are unclear on the Little League dad thing. First off, go back to living vicariously through your kids. We all do it. What do you want as a parent? You want your kids to have a better life than you had. That's kind of the universal parental goal. Even for people who had an idyllic childhood, perfect childhood. You want it better for your son or your daughter. That just comes with the territory. It's great. Yeah, living vicariously through your kids. Sure. You know how you lived. Your goal is for your children to have an even better experience. And away you go. That's there's no book on how to parent, but that's kind of just assumed. It's one of those unwritten rules. It's really not that hard to figure out. But here we go. Little League Dad. When I use that expression, is somebody who wants the story to be about them and not about their kid. Chris Lincecum's not like that. Chris Lincecum just, look, his kid's a two-time Cy Young Award winner. That's pretty cool. I would be singing his praises to everybody I knew, too. Just a proud dad. Not a Little League dad. A Little League dad would be hopping on the radio and telling everybody why the coach is wrong. That's the last thing you want a parent to be doing. But you get it every day in Little League. That's why they call it Little League Parent. All right, we've got our second guest of the day. Rob Lauder, first of all, he appears via the Dialpad guest line. He works for SB Nation. He covers the 49ers. If you're not familiar with SB Nation, their whole network, it's fantastic. It started out as a little fan forum here in the Bay Area, and now it's just this absolute behemoth, and Rob Lauder covers the Niners for them. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I'm trying to, you know, wade through this Antonio Brown stuff while still... it's a big year for both of these teams, and I'm excited to see them both play. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but the Raiders are going to be anything but boring. That may be the best casting call ever for Hard Knocks, but it's distracting me from, like, real football stuff. Like, our number one wideout has feet that look like somebody slapped a cheese grater on it for a while. So we don't know what's a real story or not. What, how about you? How are you feeling about it?
It's almost unbelievable. Like, It's hard to even fathom. Like, it's just hard to talk about. It's hard to explain. It's just like, it's every time I see something about it, it's just, I laugh. Like, not in a way to make fun of. Obviously, as a fan base, it's horrible.
Right.
It's just stuff you would never ever think you would hear about in the NFL. Like a frostbite in a cryo chamber. Like, that's something you would, like, if a movie that wasn't about football included that as a part of their storyline, you would think it was so unbelievable.
Right.
It's the best I can do. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
It's part of what we love about sports. You just get this crazy stuff. You know, everyone talks about reality TV and how it's so hot. Well, sports was the original reality TV. And in fact, sports is not, I mean, they fabricate storylines on most, you know, on most of the top reality shows, but there's nothing being fabricated by the Raiders. They're just being the Raiders. This is what the Raiders do. It's perfect.
It is. It's 100%. That's a perfect way of saying it. You would think that somebody made this up and did a very poor job making it up, and it's hard to believe, but it's 100% true. I'm still grasping my head around it. I cannot wait to watch Hard Knocks. HBO is probably foaming at the mouth at the ratings they're about to get. But the biggest thing I've seen talked about recently is how much of this they're going to include in it. Because it
right.
certainly has the capability of just being a ratings dynamite for them, probably the best they've ever had. But if they don't include it at all, then everybody's just going to immediately get turned off. So
right, Hard Knocks makes its debut. It's tomorrow night, right?
It made its debut last week. I think it's Tuesdays, but it wasn't really.
But the pilot was last week.
So they didn't include near as much Gruden as they should have. It was mostly Derek Carr. But like I'm saying, they produce these so fast that it should include a lot of what's going on with Antonio Brown. And if it doesn't, it'll be a little critical.
See, there's conspiracy theorists everywhere out there. And among the conspiracies about this is that the Raiders and the NFL and HBO were in cahoots. They want to break ratings records. That's why, you know, Chucky's going to play it up for the cameras. That's part of why they got Antonio Brown, is to maximize that window of publicity. Please, please, please don't tell me you've heard anything suggesting that the Raiders are doing this on purpose to be more appealing on TV.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think if anybody in my line of work would have heard something like that, we all would have heard it by now. I don't think necessarily any of this was planned. I mean, you can look, the Steelers just traded him. You know what I mean? Like, they traded one of the best wide receivers in football, and now you're seeing why. It's just, sometimes, no matter how good you are, it's just too much to handle.
What's fascinating is you bring in huge personalities like this to play under a huge personality in John Gruden. It's like, you hear this more often in basketball, Rob. By the way, Rob covers the Niners for SB Nation. Even though we were talking about the Raiders, but he's a well-rounded reporter. He knows the entire NFL. But he brings in, not he, but he and the franchise, bringing in these strong personalities, high-profile guys, like Marshawn Lynch, the signing of him. I immediately felt like, that's not going to work out very well. It's just those two guys are two stubborn dudes, and they're going to be butting heads. They got along just fine, but it wasn't the perfect relationship. It wasn't anything close like what it was portrayed by the media. They just somehow kept it under wraps, which is great. When you have Hard Knocks following you around, you're not keeping anything under the wraps.
No, what blew my mind is there's actually a guy with a microphone, like a, you know, one of those big boom mics that the guy actually has to hold, that follows Gruden around the entire time. They don't have, like, you know, he's not like mic'd up where they, like on the other NFL programs you see where, you know, they just attach something to him. There's literally a guy with a boom mic following him around the entire time.
And why can't you why can't you do the clip-on thing somewhere? That's crazy.
I have no idea. I just watched it, and it kind of gave me a little bit more insight as to why a lot of teams have zero interest in doing this. Like, the amount of distraction and, you know, kind of how it could alter your team and the way they behave on a daily basis seems obvious, seems overboard. So, there's zero chance they've missed any of the stuff that's going on now. Zero chance. So it's just a matter of me being curious how much they include, because, you know, like you said, there's probably a little bit of pushback from the NFL that they, you know, they don't want to look like a joke.
Right.
But like we said, a lot of this stuff is very joke-ish.
And it's the time of year when, look, it, everything's kind of settling down in the NBA, and now everything's center stage. We're about to be reminded why the NFL is dominant in the ratings, you know, versus the other sports. You could put on a regular season NFL game, and it'd probably beat some NBA playoff games. But I still contend that the NBA is really close now to the NFL as far as being a 24/7, 365 entity that commands your attention. I mean, the NFL has been that. That's why they're the big dogs. And when you get Antonio, I use this expression all the time as a cliche. If you got Secretariat in your stable, you let that horse run, and that's what they're doing with Antonio Brown. He's their Secretariat.
Right, yeah. It's just he's just running in a completely different direction than he thought he would.
All right, let's go over to the other side. Let's go to where you're an absolute expert. Have you spent 10,000 hours covering the Raiders? Because Malcolm Gladwell says if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, you become an expert. You've been covering the Niners for a while. Consider yourself an expert, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm never a fan of tune my own horn, but I'd like to think I know just as much about this team as most. Yeah, I'd put myself in that area.
So where are your expectations? Because I've been shocked at some of the predictions I'm hearing about the Niners. Somebody actually told me, and it was a guest of ours. Like, I would expect it from a listener because they're fans, right? And they can just fan out when they call. We've got people that are connected to football. They know football. And this dude said that the Niners were going to be 11-1 after 12 games. Come on.
Nah, I can't see it.
What do you see, though? Where are you at?
It's tough. I mean, I have expectations, but they're just not very convicted ones. It's hard to have a lot of conviction about the team. It's just hard to know exactly where they're going to be. I think they're closer to being the team that everybody thought they were going to be last year, this year, not just based on the fact that they have Jimmy Garoppolo for now. You know, obviously we were saying the same thing last year. It just seems like a more well-rounded team. If you're in your third year of running a franchise like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are, you should have the most talent you've ever had. Unless you're doing a
right.
Whole job of building a roster, you should have the most talent you've ever had. And they do. They look impressive, especially on defense. From what I've seen throughout training camp, I've been at every practice. The defense, to me, has been the most surprising development. Now, on the other hand, a lot of these expectations are going to hinge on, I've said multiple times that they're kind of the mantra they're building up for themselves this season is, quote unquote, if healthy. You know, they have so many players that are going to be great if they're healthy, and they're going to have a huge impact if they're healthy. But to me, they've hedged a lot of bets on the health of their team, which has been their Achilles heel over the past 2 years. They've struggled with injuries more than pretty much any other team in the NFL. So that's where my expectations kind of hit a stopping point, because I feel like they can be good. I feel like they're a fringe playoff team, wild card conversation team. Nothing concrete. I'm definitely not in the 11-win expectation yet.
No, you're down on the 11 wins in 12 games? Come on.
No, I'm not. Can't say I'm quite there. That would surprise me.
That's just goofy. I almost laughed at a guest of mine. I mean, it was that bad. I felt bad for him for throwing that stuff out publicly.
Well, yeah, and I don't want anybody to be too disappointed. I definitely don't see. I see a little bit better than an 8-8 team. And you know, nowadays, depending on how the season unfolds, 9-7 gets you into the conversation of a wild card spot. Maybe 10-6 if something falls your way. But that's the crazy thing about the NFL is, like, if you have the difference between a 7-9 season and a 10-6 season is there's not that much there. It's just a couple games that need to change based on, you know, maybe one score or two. So my expectations are, you know, if everything goes their way, which we've seen it doesn't always happen, they're in the conversation for like a wild card. I think that should be the expectation within the building if everybody is to be comfortable with where they're sitting.
What do you think the overall goal should be? Like, I'm not asking for a specific record, but I think you can't talk about playoffs without first talking about 500 for me. If they get to 500, that shows progress heading in the right direction. That would double last year's win total. But more important is the individual evaluations that you'll be doing through training camp and beyond. You need to find out. And we've seen it here in baseball, too. The Giants are embarking on this. The A's seem like they're, you know, perennial in this category. And first off, do you agree with me about 500? It drives me nuts when fans talk about the playoffs and their team hasn't sniffed over 500 in 4 or 5 years.
Right. No, I think that's fine. I mean, like you said, you're moving in the right direction. That's twice as many wins as you had last year. And you know, to blend my point into that too, you can have an 8-8 season and everybody be optimistic about it. Obviously, everybody wants to make the playoffs. Everybody wants to have a shot. But with an 8-8 season, there's probably a couple games in there that they lost where you're like, okay, they were in this one. It was a good team, you know, good for them type of deal. And I think that's acceptable for a team that just finished, you know, a 4-win season, lost their franchise quarterback. You know, still, you're in year three, but you can still kind of say they're kind of building things up the way they want them.
Sure.
So it's no. I think 8-8 and finding that at least 500 mark is kind of the floor, I guess you could say. That's what they should be aiming for at the very least.
Now, the NFC West division has typically been a tough division. It gets harder and harder every year for me, Rob, is looking at individual divisions and trying to pick a winner, because you do see in football a lot more frequently teams turning it around, going from being a 500 team or less to being a team that gets into the second round of the playoffs. It happens all the time, and that's what gives NFL fans, you know, some optimism every single year. You've seen teams go worst to first, but you do need to make that natural progression. Taking an analogy from the basketball world, Michael Jordan couldn't get past the Pistons for a while, and that was kind of paying his dues. And then once you break through, away you go. And you just can't think about breaking through until you break the 500 record. But the maybe it speaks to how positive the fans feel about their quarterback or how delusional they are. What do you think? Which one of those two do you think it is?
Oh, it's a total cop out. But I'd say you're probably riding somewhere in between. You know, with fandom, the word fan is short for fanatic. So. Mm-hmm. You know, with that comes a fair amount of delusion, and I think that's just fine. You know, because the NFL season and rooting for their favorite team is just so important for so many people in this country, and that's not a knock whatsoever. It's just, you know, it's what they're into, and that's fine. So I think the idea of looking forward to Sundays every week has to include a little bit of delusion, unless you're like the Patriots or somebody who's been completely spoiled with wins over the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, wherever we're at now, maybe more than that. But it's just a matter of the chips. Some of it just includes luck, you know what I mean? And a little bit of common sense on Jimmy Garoppolo's part. And the next time he's flying up the field, don't try and go heads up with a defensive back and see what happens. Just run out of bounds, slide, you'll be good to go. The team needs you. And I think he's kind of learned that the hard way. But I think if the 49ers have Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're always going to have, or at least for the time being, they're going to have Kyle Shanahan. If they have those two, I think they have a shot. Kyle Shanahan's offense is incredible. It's fun to watch. It's complex. He's one of the best at taking advantage of what a defense does bad. So I feel like if they've got both of them and their defense plays decent, they've got a shot. That's, you know, I wouldn't say against any team in the NFL. They showed last season that they could get through the Seahawks with a third string quarterback. So, you know, and that's, you know, one of those late season games that just kind of, you know, doesn't always represent what you're actually seeing. But at the same time, the Seahawks had something to play for that game, and they still lost. So they've shown they can get through the Seahawks, but now, you know, the Rams are still there coming off a Super Bowl appearance. So until they can compete within the division, it's not really fair to talk playoffs by any means.
Rob Lauder, so kind to join us on a Saturday. He works for SB Nation. He covers the Niners. You should check out that website, and you should have him on your list of people to follow on Twitter. It is @Rob_LODER. Great stuff, Rob. I really appreciate your time.
Of course, man. Anytime.
All right, take care. That is Rob Lauder again of SB Nation. He covers the NFL for SB Nation, as does Jane Slater, who put in a really good performance earlier in the day. Have we gotten that up on the website yet? She's my new favorite guest. I hadn't spoken with her. Go to 95.7 The Game, all one word, no period, at 95.7. It's 957thegame.com, and you will go to audio on demand, and we will have Jane Slater, NFL Network reporter, perky as a daisy, sitting right there for you to enjoy. She really was good. This guest list is great. It includes Ben Albright. He's a reporter for KOA News Radio in Denver, another one of the divisional foes. We're going to try to keep it on the field and out of the cryogenic facility on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Little Hove on a Saturday, late morning. Very well done. Welcome back and thank you for being with us. I am Michael Urban. It is, what time is it, Coz? It's 11:51 and 53 seconds. We have one more guest and it's a doozy. It is Ben Albright. He's a TV guy out in Denver. Of course, the Denver Broncos, one of the Raiders' many rivals. The Raiders might have more rivals than any other team in the NFL. And I think that's more about the Raiders than the other teams. The Raiders have that chip on their shoulder that I hope they never lose. I have a feeling it's going to get diluted a little bit once they go to Vegas. One of the theories out there is that while they did make some moves, they made some positive moves, the Raiders that is, they really don't care what happens this year. It's just not that big of a deal. It's their last year. If things go well, yeah, that would be great. But from what I understand, I know a few people that are around Raiders world on a regular basis. They're just like, this year is about finding out who is going to help us become a champion again in Las Vegas. If you don't win any games this year, it's actually a good position to be in. You've got a little bit of rope from management because they know things were pretty broken. And it's like it's a blank slate. It's an empty canvas. Except for the Browns. Of course, the Raiders are not rivals with the Browns. Yes, they are. The Raiders are rivals with every other team. Al Davis made it so. And now his son is carrying on the proud tradition. I can't even say it without laughing. Can't get that out without laughing. Tim Roy, all you millennials. That's made a few appearances on the Chilton Autobody text line. One of the topics that we threw out there, and it was just such a rhetorical question, really, that ended up being something anchored an entire segment or two or three.
All you millennials.
Nice. That was a quick one. 415, the Niners went from 2-14 to 7-9 to champs in 81. Okay. Goes to my point about parity, right? The NFL, see, there's some leagues that they need parity. They need every team to be relevant as a league. The NFL isn't like that. The NBA isn't like that. Especially in the NBA, it's not like that. Oh, I almost forgot about this. We don't have a drop, Spadoni, but, or maybe we do. If you could look it up, if you could Google it. No, don't Google. If you could look it up, Derek Carr using the word sucky. Remember, there's a big injury. I forget who it was. It was a season-ending injury the year before last. And he used the word multiple times. It's just sucky. I mean, we all know he's a man of great faith. He didn't throw around profanity the way a lot of people do, much less pro athletes. When he said it, I just immediately thought of, that ain't going to fly with Chucky. Chucky and sucky, they do not mix. Chucky is very serious. And while I'm not saying, people thought I was like going after Carr's manhood. No, I'm not. I'm not going after his manhood at all. Nor am I going after his talent as a quarterback. He's done some things in the first several years of his career that are historic. Going up against history, he's looking pretty damn good for where he's at in his career. And of course, our maestro on the ones and twos has come up with a drop of him saying sucky.
It's a sucky thing because we've talked about this. We talked about it a little bit.
come on, you can't be a leader of grizzly, dirty, sweaty men and throw out sucky. It's okay every once in a while. Every once in a while, Derek, and you've built this reputation up, so it's an E.F. Hutton type of thing. When Derek Carr talks dirty, people listen. I don't know how many of you out there are familiar with that commercial, but it was E.F. Hutton. The point was, if you don't squawk all the time, when you do talk, people respect it. And they stop and they listen to it. Makes sense to me. Wow, here's a headline that I wish I had seen a little bit earlier, but it's a column. It's evergreen. But the headline is, sick of Lakers yet? You will be soon. We have a lot of Lakers fans here at the station. That's a little bit disturbing.
LeBron James.
I'm surprised you haven't gone to that more often. Spadoni's a huge Lakers guy. We've got several people that are huge Laker fans. I wonder how the San Francisco or Oakland native is treated if they have jobs in the Southern California media market. I think they would probably get banned from being on the air, whereas we get a Joe Spadoni, we embrace him with open arms. When you have secretariat in your stable, you let the horse run. You following that, everybody? 888-957-9570. We can go several places from here. And at 12:30, we're going to go to Denver, as I noted. Ben Albright, he's a reporter for KOA News Radio. But until then, let's make this a group thing. Let's make it a collective. I'm sure you've deduced by now that favorite drops is one of the topics today. And I think this is a proud day for the people who edit and select and pick all of this stuff, because really the backbone, here's one of my weaknesses as a radio host. I don't make the best use of audio. I need to get better at that, because I can talk about Antonio Brown doing what he's done, and I'll turn a phrase decently and might make you chuckle, but who the hell cares what I think? I want to hear from the athlete or the people that work with the athletes. That's where the real work is being done.
Hope your birthday is booming.
Do we have any context for that? That is Antonio Brown. I just wish we had context. Did you hear he was doing... Oh, he was charging people, making $50 a pop or $25 a pop. And I might actually have my athletes mixed up. But
and I hear it's your second anniversary wedding.
Who is that? That's Antonio Brown.
I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney.
Give me the first one again.
And I hear it's your second anniversary wedding.
Your second anniversary wedding. You know, my mom had a favorite phrase. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. That's what I think of when I hear AB. I was believing Antonio Brown. I had believed that he turned the corner, that he is, in fact, going to be a great teammate and a great addition. I'm not saying he's not going to be that. I'm just saying that ever since camp opened, for some reason, before the official start of training camp, he had done everything right. At least everything that was seen by the media or anybody who would report otherwise. He was doing everything. He was mentoring young guys. He was getting after it. He's clearly committed to his body. Look at the shape this guy's in. Just don't look at the bottom of his feet. You'll think about cheese grater. You'll think about bacteria. You'll think about infections. Let's not go there. Hey, it's lunchtime, everybody.
Can't do it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1, San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station. This is our final hour together, Spadoni. It makes me tear up. But I've got Ryan and his... Is this your debut with Good for Ball, Bad for Ball? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yes, it's your debut. Woo! Maiden voyage. This is old hat here to Joe Spadoni. He can juggle everything. Guys, may as well just run the station.
I'm kind of a big deal.
If you want to answer this question, sick of the Lakers yet, you will be soon. That's a Bruce Jenkins 3-Dot Lounge, by the way. That's one of the questions that we've thrown out. Or would you rather stick with the NFL and talk about Antonio Brown? And we've gotten what? When was the day that this broke? Was it 4 days ago? Where it just became like the S storm. Probably about 4 days. Yeah, the helmet was yesterday. I hope you didn't miss the helmet part of it, because here's the best part of the helmet. It is a safety device. It's a better helmet. It protects your dome better. What is a concussion? It's a bruised brain. You reduce... This might prevent you from forgetting everybody's name and being put in a nursing home when you're 45. They're just looking out for you. And the NFL has been in the news for all the wrong ways for a while because, obviously, the CTE thing. But they are at least taking steps, and it's this helmet is just one of them. And other people have made the switch. Some people have resisted it. It's not one of the things that Antonio Brown doesn't like about it is it doesn't look cool enough, basically. Have you seen the helmets that Major League Baseball busted out in the wake of several pitchers getting hit in the head with line drives? I mean, it's unbelievably scary. Cheesy music, please.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.